Okay.
You are now recording.
Okay, let's do that again. I wasted the good one.
You shot your shot on that one and you missed.
That was really
Hello.
Terrible.
And welcome to the Brothers Geek Podcast. We are the Brothers Geek.
This is
I am your host.
Mellow.
The mellow tones coming to you live
mellow
on
tones
92.2
coming at you from the interwebs.
The midnight
Hello.
Show, yeah.
Coming at you.
The midnight show.
1 a.m. to 3 a.m.
Yep.
Where we're going to talk about alien hunters.
Yep. Oh my.
Alien hunters? We're going to meet some people who've been abducted by aliens.
Oh,
and
man.
Been probed by aliens.
Oh, there's alien probes happening?
We want to hear from these people. And we want to do it in a mellow way. Mellow.
We're going to talk to them. I'd like to introduce you to the first person that was probed, Andrew Schmaltz.
Yeah, I have a probe story. For sure. I'm ready to tell it to you guys.
And then my other person that was definitely probed, Christopher Schmaltz.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I was definitely probed.
That's awesome.
Welcome to the probe hour.
This is the probe hour, late night probe hour.
This is 121 of the Brothers Geek Podcast.
What is up, boys?
Welcome back after a
little bit of my God.
Okay. You know, we don't have to explain this.
Totally Patrick's fault.
Totally. Okay. It's my fault.
100%.
I've been very busy on a TV show. I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about geeky stuff and geeky things.
That's what we do.
Brothers, geek, and that's what we do.
Yep. This is what we do.
So a little thing dropped while we were on hiatus.
Forced hiatus.
Forced hiatus.
Involuntary hiatus.
Involuntary is the way to put it.
While we were getting probed, this happened.
Alien probing tonight.
Alien.
At 2 a.m.
At 2 a.m. Alien probing. the Brothers Geek Podcast.
Or the Insomniacs.
You're
in there.
Yeah. The guy's like working like midnight oil jobs, you know.
Serious.
Security guards. Security listening guards. To like that shit. Probing. Alien probing.
I listen to
security guard who's on the night shift and she needs company.
I'm
gonna hear about the alien probing.
I listen to other podcasts, one by a comedian, and her constant joke is long haul truckers listen to her podcast.
Oh yeah,
she's always
"How
you doing out there, truckers?
That's a great point. That's a great point because I mean, those guys are driving like hours upon hours. What would you do? You listen to books and you listen to podcasts, or I mean, music would drive you
before
insane.
Before the age of Sirius satellite radio.
Yeah, for sure.
Uncompensated plug. Uncompensated plug. Sirius XM, but before the days of that, it was literally 2 a.m. anal probing.
It was a.m. talk radio, and they were talking about anal probing.
Yeah,
and that's the thing about a.m.
I was abducted
realize, is
by
it
my,
actually.
I was abducted by my lover.
Wow.
Well, that's the thing about a.m. talk radio is it goes further than FM, but the quality is worse.
Yeah.
So that's why you're able to like listen to it for longer out in the middle of nowhere.
It's like you know things.
It's like I know things.
It's amazing.
It's like you know
it's amazing.
Things. I know a few things. So while we were on hiatus, Disney Plus dropped. So everybody freaked out about Disney Plus. I'd like to say that like the content is pretty minuscule compared to like Netflix. Prime, but I could see the potential. It's got a lot of like Disney stuff, and there's a lot of like a lot of other streaming services own Disney stuff, right?
In terms of original content, it's got like two original shows and like one or two original movies
right
now.
That's what I'm saying.
In terms of content in general, it's enormous,
dude. It's a Disney gasm. What are you talking about?
So much Disney, like everything you can think of.
I feel like
and things you can't even think of.
I feel like compared to like Netflix and Prime, they're kind of lacking. Like they have a lot of old stuff for sure, a lot of old stuff. But
you're
by,
such
like
a hater, what, dude.
I know. I'm trying not to be a hater, but it's just sort of like, yeah, okay. Well, let's switch it to something fun. What was the first thing you guys watched on Disney Plus?
Gargoyles.
The Mandalorian.
I watched Iron Will.
Nice.
I watched that movie when I was a kid.
Oh, that's been the best part of it, though. Like, yeah. I watched Newsies.
I watched Iron Will. I watched The Rocketeer.
Yeah. Last night, Ashton had never seen Willow, so we watched Willow last night.
My household did a restart of Kim Possible.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Which is a great freaking show.
100%.
I immediately watched episode one of Gargoyles.
Yep.
Oh, Gargoyles is awesome.
It's an awesome show.
Dude, it totally holds up.
I mean, it's
so much better in season two, but Gargoyles totally holds up.
Dude, I was looking at episodes of season two, and there are literally 52 episodes in season two.
Jesus, oh, yeah, really? Dude. It aired every day.
That's amazing.
It aired every day.
Friday after school.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
It was incredible for every day. Monday through Friday.
It's a great
show. It's insane. It's a great show. Yeah, I need to watch that. That's on my list for sure. But I watched Incredibles 1. I haven't seen Incredibles 1.
I mean, the new content
years.
Is thin. I agree with you, Patrick, but they're coming out with more stuff. The plan is more stuff. And damn, Mandalorian is just a so refreshing.
Well,
oh my gosh.
New Star Wars universe stuff. So
good segue into that. I mean, should we try not to spoil it, or should we just go full hog?
Well, let's talk about this. The format that they're releasing it in, I like, because I mean they're forcing you to spend the $7 a month for at least the 3 months, because they knew that the Geek Boys would watch all 8 episodes of The Mandalorian in one day, and then cancel their accounts.
And girls.
And girls, you're right. I'm sorry.
The geeks
of the world would watch it in one day because it's only 8 episodes, and they cancel their account.
Exactly.
So releasing one every Friday.
It's a smart. They are in the business of making money. It's a very smart financial decision for them to stretch it out.
There's a lot of people that would just watch that and watch it that way. And honestly, like, we've had this discussion before about like binge watching content. And I don't necessarily think that model works. It's nice. It's nice that you can sit and just like, okay, I want to watch all the episodes. I can. But like, I kind of miss spacing out and talking about each episode over and thinking about stuff. And it makes better episodes. Like, every episode needs to be better for you to come back. Because if you binge watch stuff, then there's a couple in the middle that like sucked or not as good.
You'll just be wanting to get through it so you can finish it all.
Exactly. And that's the binge model.
I'm fine with the weekliness. So, I'm fine with it being released on Friday.
Me too.
What did we think of the first two episodes?
Oh man. I think the first episode, I wasn't sure about his character for a while. I mean, there's a lot of like, I will say this, like, my initial reactions. I'm watching it and he's like very closed off. He doesn't say much. He's wearing a helmet the whole time. You have no idea what his facial expression, who he is. So there's a little bit of like, who is this guy? What's going on? What's the deal? What's this happening?
Sure.
But like over the course of the episode, you start to like understand who he is, like what's going on, like what kind of person he is, like how he reacts to stuff. It's a lot of his voice and like his body language. But like by the end of it, you're like, okay, he's a good dude. I want to keep watching.
I don't know necessarily if he's a good dude yet, but he has a sense of honor and he has a code.
He's a decent dude, not a good dude. I mean, that's the thing about the Star Wars universe, is it's full of scoundrels. It's full of people who are they fudge the law for. Yeah, but they still will do the right thing.
The Mandalorian has a code, and he follows that code, and he's given a job, and he executes the job, and he is focused and single-minded, but he definitely has a code. He doesn't I mean, the asset that they encounter by the end of episode one.
That's what I'm saying. It's like
he defends the asset. Like, he understands that the asset, I mean, the bounty hunting droid was ready to eliminate the asset, and he prevents that. So he definitely has a code.
Yeah.
We don't exactly know what that motivation is, however.
Exactly.
And that's part of the mystery, and why I enjoy it a lot is that we're not entirely sure. We're making some sort of maybe educated guesses about why he does what he does at the end of that episode, but we're not, because we can't see his face, because the only thing we can react to is what he actually does. It's an interesting approach to storytelling, because we're kind of unsure. We think that it's grounded in a certain motivation, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's not entirely clear, and I think it's dangerous for us viewers to make assumptions based upon, oh, you know, here's what he, why he decided to do what he did.
I will say this though. The last, like, the gunfight, like, action scene, this show seems very like Western style, like very, like cowboy in Star Wars.
The end space.
The end shootout is awesome. Like, so much fun to watch.
Gunfight, all that's really fun.
And then I love that I laughed out loud when the Taika Waititi droid kept wanting to blow himself up.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious. And he's like, no, stop. And then as soon as he give him like a different like plan, he stops blowing himself up and goes back to fighting. And he's like, oh, well, we're fucked. I might as well blow myself up. He's like, no, like do this.
There's another option besides blowing yourself up.
The humor was good. And that's, great. I mean, it's this action scene. And there's like interesting stuff happening at the same time. It's just not like mindless action. It's like really good writing.
Just right. All the Star Wars touches are just right. Sound design is perfect. I mean, it is absolutely 100% set in the Star Wars universe. They get all of that right.
It made me want to play Star Wars Battlefront 2 so bad. It made me want to play it because of that thing. I just wanted I wanted more ships. I wanted more sound effects. I wanted more, like, dirty stormtroopers standing in a room.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Wasn't that good? Man, that was good.
Just for a primer to our listeners out there, The Mandalorian is set 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
I didn't know how long it was set, but it seemed like it was recent, but not like...
No, it's set 5 years after Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. And knowing what we've come to know about the galaxy after the Return of the Jedi and the First Order and the New Republic being almost competing factions. It's not like the transition of power from the Empire to the New Republic was like instantaneous and they immediately had control over all of these systems and everybody lived in harmony. When the Empire collapsed, there was a lot of rebuilding that happened. And clearly the Mandalorian is picking up on that idea that there is a lot of lawlessness in the galaxy and bounty hunters are being utilized to pursue criminals where, you know, or obtain kind of like shady, get things done where the law is just not an available remedy to a lot of people.
Right. They've in times where there's uncertainty or a lot of gaps or voids that are created by a loss of authority, there is money to be made.
Yep.
And there are there's opportunities for entrepreneurs who are willing to take on tasks that are not necessarily savory, like Han Solo, or like bounty hunters that are in the Mandalorian tradition.
Yep. I specifically wanted to talk about season two because
episode two.
You're right. I'm sorry. Episode two. I got serious Samurai Jack vibes off of that episode.
Totally.
Yeah, explain that comment.
Okay, because, I mean, we know, so Samurai Jack was an animated TV show that aired on the Cartoon Network.
One of my favorite shows of all time.
Absolutely. There were entire episodes of that show that went almost with no dialogue.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
That would be Jack encountering difficulties, encountering challenges, encountering enemies, and he would be confronting with these challenges and he'd have to overcome them. But he was always kind of, you knew what Jack wanted to do, but he didn't necessarily explain himself, and there was very little.
Well, he doesn't say anything to anyone. He's just with the, spoiler alert, Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
His shit gets stolen by Jawas and he's got to fight them. He's got to convince the Jawas to give him back his shit. So he's got to go fight the thing and get the egg. And it's just like,
it's weird. It's weird, and there's very little dialogue. The action is
befriended
really cool.
by a weird, like, other character that we're introduced to in episode one, but then
Nick Nolte, alien. So
yeah, yeah. In his line, "I have spoken."
I have great. Spoken. Yeah,
I've been using that all week. It's so funny. Yeah. So I got serious vibes off of that, just because, I mean, it's a 45-minute episode of television, and I'd be shocked if there are 20 lines of dialogue in the whole episode.
Oh yeah, it's all action. Yeah. It's all action,
and it's not even like action, like just gunfights and blasters and ships flying around.
It's him just, like, chasing down a freaking Jawa crawler and fighting a freaking alien.
But
rhino.
Even that, there's like quiet scenes of the Mandalorian just walking along with this like hovering, you know, baby crib, because there's a baby Yoda that he's taking care of,
and baby Yoda trying to heal his arm when he's in. Shit, and like using the force to like stop the shit, dude.
The Mandalorian not knowing what the hell he's trying to do and pushing him back, or
exactly. He's like, "Why are you trying to touch me?
Yeah,
leave me alone, baby. You're a weird baby alien thing."
Who's 50 years old?
Yeah,
that's crazy shit, dude.
Well, we clearly
so brilliant.
As Star Wars nerds, we know that Yoda's species, which we don't have a name for, is incredibly long lived. I mean, Yoda was 900 years old when he died. During Return
this is like this is only one of three of this species that has ever been shown in the Star Wars universe. It's Yoda, this baby, and like some unnamed woman.
No, we have Yoda. We have a female version of Yoda's species called Waddle, I think her name was.
Jedi. It was never said in the movies or anything. So exactly. that's just extended universe. You look that shit up. She was part of the council, but like never, she's never speaks and she's never like introduced. So,
yeah.
There's a few theories on the internet about like, this is the baby of Waddle. There's a few theories on the internet that this baby Yoda might go into something that happens in Last Jedi. There's lots of shit on the internet.
There's lots of shit on the internet that's not supported in any way beyond the fact that it seems likely to me that whatever species Yoda is a member of, and we know that there was another member of his species that sat on the Jedi Council at the same time he was, and they're very long lived, and we can know that this very young Yoda, quote unquote Yoda, has force abilities that are inherent to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That it seems like this species has force abilities inherent to its species. They're all potential Jedi. What I'm taking away from this is the fact that they're proposing the idea that this species is a Jedi species.
This species is like very, I mean, Yoda is
very
powerful.
Strong with the Force.
Yeah,
strong with the Force.
Very strong with the Force.
And this asset,
obviously, as a baby, stops a freaking rhino and picks it up, you know? Yep. So that's something.
It is.
And Chris, I think something Chris said earlier is interesting is, we don't know his intentions. Like he stopped the droid from killing the baby, but like he's still gonna turn these fuckers in to the Empire, these leftover Empire guys.
Well, there's every indication, yes, that he will be returning this asset because he completes the job.
And he gets more there's all this like cool stuff about like him getting his armor complete. You know, that whole thing was like an interesting where he like takes the piece of metal to the armor
Mandalorian Forge.
Yeah, Mandalorian Forge, which is really cool. And so like they promise him more, you know, that was just like a down payment. Huge.
And have you looked up that? I looked up Beskar.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't.
On Wikipedia or the Star Wars Wiki.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
There's a whole article about Beskar and what it is. And
what is it? What does it do? What's so special?
It's one of the most potent metals in the Star Wars universe. Mandalorian armor is made out of it, and it is so strong that it can deflect everything a lightsaber blow short of a direct piercing blow from a lightsaber.
Yeah, it's like Star Wars adamantium.
Right.
Yeah.
It can be penetrated by a lightsaber, but basically only if you carefully stab it with a lightsaber. It is not cut by a lightsaber slash. That's part of the wiki article.
My understanding of Beskar steel comes from the extended universe, which the reason the Mandalorians were such a powerful, like, super soldier kind of warrior culture is because they perfected the ability to
manipulate
Beskar steel. So they kind of had their inherent to them was the ability to forge Beskar steel armor and weapons. So that's what their culture is kind of built on. The fact that they are able, they know that process and
their warrior culture is grounded on this idea they have a secret sauce related to, and you know, if you're wearing Beskar steel armor, you can go toe to toe with a Jedi.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first two episodes of The Mandalorian have been great. I'm in 100%.
Dude, I really just can't wait until the third one drops. Like it makes you want to wait, which is great. I have no idea where it's going to go. Do you think there's theories on the internet too, because there's Jawas on this planet that they're on Tatooine. I feel like every time they show a desert planet, the internet says Tatooine, but
I just think Jawas exist on multiple planets.
Yeah. They're assuming that the
Jawas are indigenous to Tatooine. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, like hyperspace travel has existed in that galaxy for 25,000 years.
Yeah.
So species travel all over the indigenous species to Tatooine are the Tusken Raiders is what I believe. So
those guys are not the people that attacked the Mandalorian.
They were lizard dudes.
Yeah. Lizard dudes.
It seems like there's other factions, other kinds of bounty hunters, and other kind of people who are pursuing this asset.
Clearly there are multiple contracts put out to recover this creature.
Yep.
And right. I of course we're going to get to some sort of information about that. Depends on what the Mandalorian does in terms of where he takes the Yoda.
Yeah. The baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda. And I'm sure that it's going to be part of the reveal is that what's going on with this, that there are multiple contracts out for this this baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda. Yeah, 100%.
So, but it also may be he's like straight up, I'm going to fulfill my contract and return it to his contractor and
that's it.
That might, but I doubt it. Given the nature of storytelling,
it's gonna get much more complicated.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm ready for it.
Yep. Me too. I'm all in on that.
Sweet. Have you watched anything else on Disney Plus you want to talk about? Move on to something else.
Not originals. Like I said, I've watched Gargoyles.
I watched the Lady and the Tramp remake.
Oh yeah,
live action. It was pretty meh. I feel like the Lady and the Tramp cartoon has such great animation and really dark storytelling. Like I remember the end with the rainy carriage and it was just so much more dramatic. And yeah, this is kind of the softer, lighter version.
Interesting. Yeah. I remember that too about a lot of Disney, especially being a kid and watching them for the first time. A lot of classic Disney from the 50s and 60s and even the 70s, there was some dark shit. And I remember being afraid watching some of these movies.
Yeah.
There's parts to the original Rescuers movie, which is that is scary.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she's she kidnaps a kid.
There are parts that are genuinely scary.
Yeah, I mean, 101 Dalmatians is the same kind of deal. That
yeah.
Cruella De Vil is not a good person.
No. Mm-hmm. She's not pleasant.
No.
She is borderline at best. Yeah.
Awesome.
But there's so much stuff on there. Yeah, it is definitely worth the $7 a month for sure.
$7
I agree.
I mean, there's a lot of streaming stuff right now, but $7 is nothing. It's just for tons of really
catalog,
good
if you're a Disney if you're stuff. A Disney fan, the catalog is absolutely worth the nostalgia alone.
Yeah, I feel like that's what I'm running into is I'm rewatching stuff I've already seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I I'm looking forward to them releasing newer content or stuff in the future future Marvel shows that they promised.
Marvel content.
Yeah.
A lot of original Marvel content.
That's what I'm looking forward to. I really want to watch 2020. All the Marvel shows and I'm really excited about all the Marvel movies that they'll eventually have. I mean, they have Endgame on there, which is cool. And, but yeah, it's sort of right now it's sort of the promise of more is good for me.
Yeah.
I would like, we should talk about His Dark Materials on HBO because we talked about the first book a lot.
Yeah. We're in the midst of reading the second book and I'm not current on the show. I know we're through, I think two episodes and the third one just dropped yesterday.
Yeah. So I haven't watched the third one.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we like so far about the show?
Lyra's pretty good.
I like the actress who's playing Lyra. Daphne Keene. She played young X-23
that's thank you, Andrew, for doing
She's
that.
Terrific.
I didn't recognize she was great. It's an interesting looking show, I'll say that. The style is pretty interesting and I don't like that they're already showing their hand a little bit about the universe. They're showing multiple universe. Yes. I think they should have waited to reveal that. I think that would have been a crazy thing.
But that's in the book, dude. I mean, that's
the guy going to another the guy going to another dimension and then meeting with a random dude and talking to him and then going back. That never happened in the book.
Well, it happens. We don't see it. Because the first book is almost entirely from Lyra's point of view.
That's something too. Is I wish this was more from her point of view, and they're going more of the second book. That's my problem with part of the second book is they're telling stories of different characters. I realize you have to do that with a TV show, but I really like the first book because it's definitely more from her perspective and her journey. You learn things by her experiencing them instead of being told them. And there's a lot of here, let's show you this And it's like, who is this guy? Why is he doing this? I don't give a shit about this. What am I seeing? That's what I felt a lot of when I watched the first two episodes, I'll say. Mm. I liked it, and I like what I'm seeing, but there was a lot of like, where is this going? Why am I here? Who is this guy? Why is this happening? Tell me more. Like, and I'm not really interested. I'm interested in Lyra, but okay. There's not like they haven't given me a reason to be interested about anyone else.
Okay. I mean, I can see that. I enjoyed the first two episodes. I think Daphne Keene is doing a great job as Lyra. I think the casting that they did for the Egyptians is spot on in terms of, you know, Father Corder and
those are pretty good.
Tony Costa, I think the casting is great. I think the actors are playing that.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to see more of James McAvoy as Lord Asriel, but for whatever reason, he just doesn't strike me as an imposing enough figure.
Well, he plays a major role at the end of the first book, obviously.
Yeah.
And then he's not really a character until the last.
We'll see much of him until the end of the series.
We saw a lot of him in the first episode that we didn't see in the that we didn't see in the book. So obviously going to be telling his story, I think, along the way. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of his story he's captured, but we also know that in the first book that he's captured and like kept in prison, essentially. But has his own designs that he's doing the whole time.
Isn't he captured by the bears?
Well, the bears are agents of the General Ablation Board in the first book. So he's kept under guard by mercenaries or whatever.
I'm really interested to see when they get to like the North more. Cause that's
that's when the book really starts to heat up too. So pulled together. So
I mean, she's
and
just
Scoresby
getting,
is introduced and stuff like that.
She's just guarding. I mean, like the end of the episode two, I'm not sure where three is going to go, but like, I know that, like the Egyptians save her in the book, you know, the spoilers for the show. Sorry, but I read the book.
Yeah.
And the Egyptians
What do we think of Mrs. Coulter? I think she is just that appropriate mix. I think she's described so well as kind of being charming and very intelligent, but also has a very kind of sinister.
She's perfectly cast.
I think she's perfectly cast. I mean, you don't want to compare the TV show, you know, the movie that came out 10 years ago to the TV show in any way, but Nicole Kidman played Mrs. Coulter in the movie and just doesn't work nearly as well as I'm blanking on the name of the actress. I've seen her in a lot of other things, but she is perfect so far as Mrs. Coulter because she has that charming, very intelligent, very capable, she will gut your ass.
Yep.
She will leave.
And that's in her eyes. She does such a good job of that in Luther. She plays a psychopath in Luther.
Okay.
Oh, that's where I know her from. Yep. Her name is Ruth Wilson, by the way.
Yes, Ruth Wilson. She's great.
She can convey, I love you and I'm going to gut you better than any actor I think I've ever seen.
That's pretty awesome.
She's so good.
And
that's perfect for Coulter because Coulter is such a unique character that you really feel strongly one way and then then things change and it becomes a lot more complex as time goes on. It's really interesting.
So I will like I will say this is like maybe part of it is like I just read that, so I sort of know where things are going, and so I'm kind of
a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Right, I'm already like seeing stuff happening. It's like okay, I know. So that I mean, maybe reading it was kind of a detriment to me, but like I still want to see it.
The book is so strong that
the book is so good. Yeah,
never a detriment to read a book.
Definitely
like
not.
Well, what I'm saying is, it's a detriment to my enjoyment of watching the show because it's I want to watch more. and I'm excited to watch the third one, but I like really just can't wait till they get to the north and I see the bears and I see what they do with Scoresby and I see and what the they
witches.
Do. The witches, like there's so much other stuff. And this beginning stuff is sort of like, I know they're setting stuff up and they're getting things going and it heats up. But like, it's sort of like, I know where the book's going to go. I know where the story's headed. So you just want
to get there already.
I wanted to get there already.
And the amazing, exactly. thing about the series, the trilogy especially, is that it's a discrete story. And so yeah. I'd be amazed if HBO doesn't fully commit to just do all three books. And so I can't wait to see how they pull that off and what mm-hmm. they show and how they show it. And they, you know, they'll put money into it. And books two and three, there's parts of them that are freaking some of the best stuff I've ever read.
Yeah.
And they are phenomenal books. And so, and the story it tells is a truly amazing tale of humanity figuring out its place in the universe and the characters that are introduced and Lyra's role in all of it. And it's just an amazing, amazing story that yeah. I think HBO will do justice to. You know, we have an early taste. Their world building is good. The conflict with the Magisterium is spot on. Mm-hmm. And that only will continue and get more interesting as we learn more. So,
yep. Yeah, totally. Totally.
Are you guys current? Speaking of HBO shows, are you guys current with Watchmen?
I haven't watched a single episode. Sell me on Watchmen.
Oh, dude. If you don't have an interest,
bonkers jump, and awesome.
Holy bonkers shit. And awesome. Damon Lindelof in a comic book world with what you know about his sensibilities in terms of loss and grief and trauma, but also mystery and kind of weird world building.
Yes.
All that shit goes into it.
I've heard the last episode really changed some shit and everybody on the internet was freaking out. I didn't read anything, but there was just like I saw on Twitter, like people like Watchmen, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, no, there's what the fuck moments in every episode, dude.
Oh God. Okay. And
it is.
I reread the entire series too. The Watchmen series.
Yeah, that's such a great comic book.
Since I've read it. I've probably read it once or twice.
They're doing such a good job of sprinkling references to deep, deep stuff that's in the comics that it's really well done. It's so well done because it's clearly set and a continuation of that tale, but so uniquely advancing sort of the story. It's really great. It's really great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah, no, I'm really digging it.
The show's terrific.
You would get sucked in 100%.
You gotta read the comics. I mean, I read the comics just to remind myself, and damn, there is detail that is just sprinkled in the show that if I hadn't read it recently, I would not get the reference.
I still got it,
and it's so good.
I still have that Ultimate Edition you got me years ago, Christopher, on my bookshelf right now. I'm looking right at it. Like, maybe.
Yeah, man, read it. Absolutely read it and watch the show.
Yeah.
And for all of you out there who haven't read it, it's a seminal comic book. If you're interested in comic books at all, it's commentary on the genre and commentary on power and commentary on human decision making is amazing. You have to read it.
Yep.
It's literature.
Well, and I mean, just as to give it some kind of highfalutin, you know, kind of cred, it was named by Time Magazine as one of the top 100 novels of the 20th century.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's got that kind of gravitas to it.
Yeah, Watchmen is pretty incredible. Like,
the writing is amazing and the art is amazing, and it's the examination of humanity is amazing.
So. Yep. And this TV show is, I mean, I'm totally sucked in, and it takes kind of the heightened comic booky reality that exists in this world, and it's like engaging on race directly. I mean, the main character, the hero, quote unquote hero, is a female black cop in Tulklahoma who dresses up as a nun, and her vigilante name is Sister Knight. And she just stomps ass, and she's the toughest, most capable character in the whole story, and she's awesome. And I mean,
but she's also complex,
totally complex. She has her own agenda,
right?
Yeah,
not purely good,
not purely good,
very much a human being.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, Regina King does a great job as Sister Knight. She's my favorite part of the show. So
I don't know. Looking Glass is, I think, my favorite.
Oh, the most recent episode with Looking Glass was great.
Jesus.
Yeah, no, dude.
I've been drawn to that character from the first episode.
Wow. All right.
This dude is. Yep. Give it a
Don't give anything away. I'm gonna go watch it. I'm gonna go watch it. How many episodes are out? Four or five?
Five.
Damn.
Five.
I think they've done five, yeah.
I'm a little behind.
Oh man.
I'll go get caught up on that and watch it. I would like to wrap things up. I would like to talk about just briefly. I saw Dr. Sleep, which is a sequel to The Shining. And Ewan McGregor is amazing. Rebecca Ferguson gets the Not Ugly Award for this freaking episode.
She's like a three-time winner, I think. Every time we've talked about her.
She's in the podcast, our podcast Hall of Fame.
100%.
Hall of Fame. Like, for sure. Like,
phenomenal.
That's if I've heard any, I mean, Ewan McGregor, I would say, is almost always so good in everything.
Dude, he's so watchable. Like, yeah, he's amazing.
What I've heard about this movie is that Rebecca Ferguson steals it as this villain, the Hat. Is that her name?
Rose the Hat is what she gives herself.
Yeah,
and that's It's really she's incredible.
Should I see the movie?
Oh, absolutely! It's creepy. It's entertaining. There's a mystery. Mm. There's crazy. Like, I never was bored. Always something happening. Always really like just a really tight script. Oh my god! Very, very like, and you don't see stuff coming. Really interesting. And then,
Chris, you're kind of the resident Stephen King guy. It's based on a Stephen King novel.
Did you ever read? Yeah. Did you read Dr. Sleep? Or The Shining?
I did. I definitely read The Shining. I have not read Dr. Sleep.
Okay.
Yep.
Man. It's a really it takes you there for sure.
I'm definitely gonna go see it.
Yeah, no, I need to go see it too. I haven't.
It's worth it, and it's really entertaining. None of us saw Terminator, right? Like, that kind of flopped. I mean, we haven't talked about that.
No, I did not see Terminator.
Did not see it.
Man, it flopped hard. But I heard like kind of meh to positive reviews about that. Like,
yeah,
people kind of like. Yeah,
I saw Ford versus Ferrari.
So did I.
Outstanding film.
Yes,
I'm gonna go see. I think I'm gonna go see that Friday with Hannah. So that's gonna be my push.
Very entertaining film.
Yeah,
I want to see that.
Christian Bale and Matt Damon are really terrific.
Yeah,
that's the thing. That's the thing about like this modern time is like, like there's so many movies coming out and so much content out there. It like when a really good actor does something, it's like, oh shit, this is what it could be like. You know, this is something that it's actually good. This person's entertaining to watch.
Good script, good story, interesting tale, good interesting characters, cool cars.
Well, it's definitely squarely in that genre of sports movie.
Yeah,
but it takes it to the next level just because Matt Damon is so good as Carroll Shelby and Christian Bale is so good as Ken Miles. They elevate it because it really, I mean, they do an interesting examination of these two men and what they have to do to succeed in this task that they're undertaking.
Yeah.
And how kind of, you know, they set it up as really kind of impossible. But it really follows the tropes associated with the sports movie, you know, the kind of underappreciated talent that's brought in, you know, the coach who's kind of finding out, he's assembling his team, kind of, you know, the challenges they anticipate.
Underdog,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, we know the story. It's, you know, the history that they make doing, you know, with this story is readily available, but they tell it in a very entertaining, dramatized way. So.
Yeah, they really made the right choice to focus on the human beings and to flesh out the human beings involved in this effort. Yeah. And I think that was nicely done.
I think it was too. Yeah. No, it's worth seeing. It's worth seeing in a big theater because the racing scenes are so fun to watch too.
Well, since you guys are going to mention like kind of non genre content, I did see Jojo Rabbit, which is really, really good and funny.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I want to see that. Yeah.
And I saw Parasite, which is really dark, really messed up, and like the slowest burn movie I've ever seen.
What is
and
that one? Remind me.
Parasite is this Korean movie made by the guy who made Snowpiercer, and he made the Korean monster movie, The Host.
Oh yeah, okay.
But this is his latest movie, and it's just about like, I don't want to ruin anything for you, but it's sort of like these people start working for this rich family, but it's predicated on a lie, and the lie keeps building and building and building and like growing. And it's like this really slow, like, oh God, this is like, everything's going fine. And then things start to get worse and worse and worse. And like, by the end of it, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It was incredible. It was a very good movie. And so, like, it's foreign language. So, I mean, that's but fuck,
yeah, fuck,
whole yeah, very
mess with your head.
It messes with me, and it's so good that you're like, wow. I said wow at the end.
All
right,
cool.
So
I love movies like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, dude, go see Parasite. Go see Jojo Rabbit if you want to be both depressed and laugh.
Okay.
Sometimes
need a good mix.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good mix of that. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Oh, we've all been playing three different video games. Like, you've both been playing expansions to video games.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I recently been playing Destiny Shadowkeep, and I was taking my time with the campaign. We talked about it before. You're back on the moon. You know, you're fighting kind of familiar enemies, but they had a limited time event, an in-game event called Festival of the Lost, that basically it's like a take on Halloween.
They do Halloween.
It's a Halloween event. There's candy. You can earn candy to buy special event things, and they have a special game mode associated with the Festival of the Lost called the Haunted Forest, which I just grinded for hours. You just fight waves and waves of enemies that are increasingly difficult, and you earn enough currency doing that that you can buy a pinnacle weapon. And I did that. The game mode's fun. It's something you can just kind of grind. It's not very complicated, so it's kind of right up my alley in the sense that I'm not really a puzzle guy when it comes to gaming. So you just fight waves of enemies, you earn currency, and you eventually can buy a pinnacle weapon, which I did. So that was fun. I spent hours doing that. And it's really cool that they decorate the world with all these Halloween things, themed things. So I enjoyed like the week and a half that I really kind of dug into that and played every single day. So it's just a fun game mode. And the weapon that I bought is a, you know, a pinnacle weapon. It's one of the best types of weapons in the game. So it was,
you just love Destiny. You've been playing it. It's just forever.
You come home, solid, and you turn it on, solid. You shoot aliens in the face.
Yep.
With you use space magic, it's, you know, kind
very,
of superhero.
It's very satisfying to do that in that game.
Space magic, for sure.
Space magic superhero awesome. And shooting, you know, super guns. So it's fun. Yep.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Christopher, you playing Monster Hunter, the new Monster Hunter expansion? What's that called again?
Iceborne. Yep. Yeah, I have been playing nothing but that since it came out. Recently defeated the final story boss. Mm. The nature of the Monster Hunter games, however, is that even if you defeat the story boss, there is always new monsters to fight that are stronger and more challenging than the final story boss. So there is, I've been told, I've read, that there is over 100 hours of more content after the final story boss.
Okay.
And the nature of Monster Hunter is it is a grind. It is a RNG hell.
Yeah.
And I defeated the final story boss, and then I've been fighting the final story boss over and over and over again so that I can get all the parts and materials necessary to craft the entire set of armor that you could make with the final story boss's materials, because I wanted to get the full set because the bonuses on the full set are interesting and I wanted to test them out, and they give you lots of cool bonuses for fighting other monsters. And so I've been grinding the hell out of just that final boss, and I recently, the RNG gods smiled upon me and I got the final piece of material that is the rarest drop. Finally got the final single piece of material that I needed in order to craft the final piece of armor.
Mm.
But I literally fought the final boss and failed on the final boss because, of course, you join with a group. And if any one of you, if the total amount of being carded, it's called in the game, is 3 by any part of your group, you all fail and you don't get anything from the fight. And I probably I can't tell you how many times.
Oh my god.
And failed.
Wow.
And you're lucky if you get one piece. You know, and if you defeat the boss, you probably get 10 pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But if you fail, you are very lucky if you get one. And you use all the materials you use. You have to reset all of that. You have to recraft all of the consumables. You have to do all of that. And sometimes you fail 40 minutes into the fight.
Ugh, that's brutal.
It is a brutal game.
Brutal.
Which I just love to play because it's a huge challenge. It is a huge challenge. And the satisfaction of defeating the boss is so huge after you've gone through 10 tries and failed on each one that I just love that satisfaction. The bosses are varied. They really did a nice job in the design of some of the bosses that you fight through the story mode. And now I'm in the in-game stuff, which is an interesting take on sort of repurposing some of the old maps, and it allows you to grind and really control through that grind which monsters you want to hunt and what you want to craft in terms of gear. And it's perfect for the collector who wants to sort of make every gear set in the game. I have a particular affinity for a couple of weapons. I use a bow and a switch axe, and so I want to craft all the best bows and switch axes in the game, and that requires me to fight much more difficult bosses or monsters that are in this end game area. And so I will continue to do that and have a great time doing it. And my gear now is strong enough that, and I've learned the fights well enough that, it's really a question of do I join a group and roll the dice on the group knowing what they're doing, or do I fight the boss, the monster on my own? It's more fun to fight with a group, and so I typically default to that, but oftentimes I want to just grind through it and test out the new armor or the new weapon that I made, and so I will solo it. Like last night I soloed something, and that was a very easy monster, and I'm way over geared for it, but it was still a good time because it's not no fight is a cakewalk. They're all challenging. Every monster can kill you if you mess up. And that's, I really enjoy that. Even the lowest level monsters, they will kill you if you don't pay attention. So it's
awesome. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's neat. Fun. That's neat. I mean, I'll just speak briefly about Borderlands. I beat this main story. It's kind of a lame game, but playing with friends is better. There's a loot kind of hunt that you're on to try to find the best gear for your character. We're all kind of talking about the same thing. So it's sort of like you go and do missions and you fight bosses and they drop a thing and they drop the thing you want or it isn't. And then you keep doing it. And it's fun. But honestly, like lately I've been thinking about Star Wars Fallen Jedi because the reviews of that are really good.
Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And then that's the one. And that,
yeah.
Thanks, bro.
No problem, dude.
I don't think I'll buy it until I'm done with this job, but I don't see myself waiting much longer after that. And I'm just play that for a little while. Yeah. It looks really good. And
I've watched some streamers stream the game. It's not my type of gameplay, to be completely honest, but it's a fun game to watch. If you're like a Dark Souls type of player and you like that third person kind of action adventure.
It's supposed to be really hard.
You can play it on the Jedi like Grandmaster level, which apparently is like as hard as a Dark Souls game.
I don't want to play that level. I always play the middle level of difficulty because like I want a little bit of difficulty and a little bit of story, and then I want to be able to.
Yeah, well, the thing I saw about it was that the story was good.
Exactly.
That's the thing that I want. I want more Star Wars content, especially with The Mandalorian. To bring this back around to that is like, finally, we're getting. Like everybody's down on, you know,
to bring it even more full circle, we're a month away from episode 9.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, you guys have plans to watch episode 9? Have you made those plans?
So I haven't made any plans, but you know, I think I'm gonna be in Phoenix before that. I think the brothers gotta see that shit together.
You're gonna be in Phoenix on December 19th,
maybe, or
December 20th.
Maybe.
I mean, I have bought tickets for December 19th, and I have plans to go with people already on December 19th at 9:30 at night.
Wow. So, I mean, I don't have that serious of plans, but I'm definitely going to, like, I've been holding off watching The Force Awakens and The Rise of
The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi, that one.
Are you drunk? Where's your brain?
I'm tired.
Okay, I'm tired too.
It is late. Yeah,
it is late. Okay, let's wrap this up.
No, I have not definitively decided what the plan is because I have to assess on my family here in Tucson what it is, who wants to go, what the plan is, all of that. And so we need to have that conversation. But there is no way in hell I am not seeing it. If not the first day it's out, then the second day it's out.
100%.
Whatever I need to do.
Yep. Dude, this is a discussion for another time, but I'm not that excited about this movie.
I'm going to punch you in the throat. Wow. You need to be.
Andrew,
it's going to make for amazing podcast content.
It'll really be great.
Andrew,
it's going to sound great on the podcast when I punch Patrick in the throat on our throat punches.
I'm really good at blocking. Okay. Andrew,
what do you got?
Do you have any trivia for us?
I do have a trivia question for you, and it's Disney Plus themed.
Woo, let's go.
And it's very simple. I was surprised to find that The Simpsons is available on Disney Plus.
Sure is.
How many seasons of The Simpsons are available on Disney Plus right now?
I think I looked at this because I was curious myself.
Yeah.
I think I saw that there's 30 seasons.
Yeah.
Is that
the number that immediately popped in my head is 23, so that's my guess.
30 seasons of The Simpsons.
23.
Patrick is correct. 30 seasons of The Simpsons are available on Disney Plus.
That is freaking incredible.
You could
of episodes.
You could just binge watch The Simpsons forever.
Is that 600 plus episodes?
Well, yeah. That's if there's 22 episodes a season times 30.
That is math.
Yeah. What's that? What was that? I'm blanking on his name right now, but what's that late show host with the orange hair and
Conan O'Brien?
Conan O'Brien. He wrote like season. He was on the writer's table of season like three through like nine. So those are the best.
He wrote one of the best episodes of the Simpsons ever, the monorail episode.
Oh yeah, the monorail.
The huckster comes to town and convinces Springfield to spend money on a monorail. And then the thing like breaks and it's, you know, all these random like celebrities get endangered. And I'm not a huge fan of The Simpsons. I have watched, you know, lots of episodes just because it's, you know, been consistently good, I think. But that if there's an episode of The Simpsons that I consistently remember as being just insanely funny and smart, it's the monorail episode. So yeah. That's worth just a rewatch anyway to like find it. And then there's a couple Treehouse of Terror episodes because they always did a Halloween themed episode. Yep. That was funny as well.
The Halloween episodes are the ones that I remember the most because it allowed the writers the freedom to
just go off the rails,
ultra wacky things. And yeah. I loved every. I looked forward to those episodes more than any others because they just went bonkers with them. So I love
it. I think there's a whole subset of geekdom out there that probably bought Disney Plus because they heard that 30 seasons of The Simpsons would be
available. 30.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like that's the most impressive thing. It's just 30 stunning. Effing seasons.
30 seasons. Yep. Anyway. Yeah, Patrick was correct. Good job, Patrick.
Well done, Patrick.
Thank you. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kinglandnorth52@gmail.com. If you'd like to email the podcast, you should email us at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek@twitter.com and brothersgeek.com, brothersgeekpodcast on Facebook. Yeah, those are the things.
So, but I forgot to mention this, and one of the things that I read about on the internet and related to our traditional sign-off, I watched A New Hope and fast-forwarded to the scene between Greedo, because did you read that they changed that scene again?
I did hear
What did he?
And I can confirm that they changed the exclamation that Greedo says in the instance where Han shoots first.
Uh-huh.
But of course they changed it so that he doesn't shoot first, but they changed what Greedo says in that that exchange. What I don't know what they're thinking. McClunky.
Okay.
He actually says McClunky.
Wow.
Anyway, Han shot first. Han shot first. I don't give a shit. Even on Disney Plus, even when they change the scene, they don't change it back to what it should be. They add a dumb phrase coming out of Greedo's mouth.
McClunky. McClunky. So.